Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. We have a lot to get into in today's show. Every show is going to have a little bit of its own theme this week. As you just heard, we start college days starting tomorrow. So we're going to take a trip to Columbia, Manhattan, and Lawrence to take a look at the three individual schools. As of now, every school's football coach will be on the show this week. Every school's athletic director will be on the show this week. We'll talk to the quarterbacks, talk to the star players. We are really going to help get you ready for the start of college football season. We are going to have Columbia Day, Lawrence Day, and Manhattan Day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Today, as we kick off the All-Star break, you know what? I wanted today to be a little bit different. So Rob and I have reached out to various news people and friends along the way, and we're going to have them on the show. You know what we've never been able to ask Brian Busby? How did you become a weatherman? I'd love to know the answer to that. Rob, do you know how Brian Busby became a weatherman? Well, we're going to get the chance to ask him today. Chris Ketz is going to be on the show. What is the biggest news story that you've covered in your time in Kansas City? That is one of the activities that we are going to do today. There is a lot of other things to talk about. The SEC and the Big Ten don't agree on the playoff. We have the Home Run Derby coming up later today. Teddy Bridgewater is in trouble for helping kids go to school. There's a lot happening in the world of sports. Before we get to it, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell two friends to check out the show. Today, I'm being greedy. It's the All-Star break, so we could use all the help that we could get. If you could tell two friends to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate it. This is where I would like to begin. There are two major stories this week. One's kind of an early in the week story. The other one is a later in the week story. We'll get to the Royals coming up here in just a bit. But the Chiefs have until 3 o'clock tomorrow to reach a long-term extension with Trey Smith. He is currently the only player in the NFL that is under the franchise tag. What's that means? If the Chiefs and Trey Smith don't reach a long-term agreement by tomorrow at 3 o'clock, he is going to be under a one-year, $23.4 million guaranteed. He has already signed his tenure. So that means he is going to show up to training camp. He is locked into that $23 million, or you can reach an extension, bring your cap number down, lock yourself into some more guaranteed money, and give yourself more long-term security with the Kansas City Chiefs. We haven't really heard a lot of news. There hasn't been a lot of smoke, hasn't been a lot of fire around the contract, but you would have to imagine that there are some negotiations that are going on behind the scenes, and I expect that sometime coming up in the next 24 hours, we are going to hear news that the Chiefs and Trey Smith are going to reach a long-term extension. Trey Smith met with the media last week. He didn't really give up a whole lot of information about this subject.
I leave it to the hands of my agents and, you know, obviously the front office staff of the Chiefs are elite. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just let them take care of it. I just have to focus on being the best version of myself, being the best football player and being prepared for training camp because St. Joe's is around the corner. That's going to be we don't want to talk about that right now.
We also had Joe Corey on, who is a former sports agent. We had him on the show last week. We asked him what is a Trey Smith contract looks like. He threw out some big time numbers.
He's not going to give you more than four total years. And I look at the not four new years in, besides the tag number he's playing on. That's a placeholder. So I'm really thinking 4 years, 25, 26, 27, 28. He's not going to give you more than that. Since you have, you're probably going to have to go maybe 50 fully guaranteed at signing since Lindstrom's at 48 and probably 65 in overall guarantees. If you could get this thing for anything under 90 for the 4 years, I think you should be happy with that. I suspect it might be closer to 92 to 95. if that might give the Chiefs sticker shock, but I don't think it's going to be the 2.5% increases we've had with Lindstrom when he became the highest paid guy, or Dickerson when he became the highest paid guy, because that only puts you $21.5 million. So that franchise tag just totally changed the dynamics of the negotiation.
So that was Joel Corey. He was on the show last week. I would highly encourage you to check out that interview if you want to learn more about this process with Trey Smith. From a financial standpoint, it would be in the best interest of both sides to get a deal done. If you're Trey Smith, you lock in more guaranteed long-term money. We're talking about potentially what you just heard from Joel Corey, $50 million guaranteed. That's double what you currently are locked in to get guaranteed. You also can sign that now and not have to worry about injury or any of those things. Lock yourself in for $50 million. If you're the Chiefs, you give yourself some salary cap flexibility. We also talked about Joel Corey, and he believes that if you reached an extension with Trey Smith, you could save $13 million against the cap for this upcoming season. That's obviously incredibly valuable, something you would like to do if you're the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have made it clear that they want Trey Smith around. I think Trey Smith also wants to be in Kansas City. When those two things come together, you usually get yourself a deal. So we are at the All-Star break for the Kansas City Royals. Let's get you some of the numbers for the Royals. The Royals are 29th in runs scored. They have scored two more runs this season than the Pittsburgh Pirates. When it comes to home runs, the Royals are 29th place. They have hit more home runs than the Pittsburgh Pirates. So by a lot of the metrics, a lot of the offensive statistics, the Royals are near the bottom of Major League Baseball. I don't have to tell you guys how up and down and how inconsistent the Royals have been through the first basically 100 games of the season. The Royals have played 97 games. So by this time next week, when the Royals get back to work, they will have played exactly 100 games. We have gone through this subject ad nauseum. The Royals are at a crossroads about what they want to do. They are essentially eliminated from the division, so there's no reason to talk about them as they are 12 games out, and Detroit has the most wins of any team in all of baseball. The Royals currently sit 4.5 games out of the third wild card spot. The Mariners have the final wild card spot, followed by Tampa Bay, Texas, Minnesota, and the Angels. So the Royals are sitting there. So you got to do a lot of work in the second half of the season. But the Royals have the second easiest schedule of any team in Major League Baseball the second half of the season. Does that make the Royals feel like they are in it, that they should go for it, that they can get hot and go on a little bit of a run? Or are you going to see the Royals sell off some parts as we get closer and closer to the deadline? That is going to be the story that dominates Kansas City baseball for the next couple of weeks or so. Coming up in a bit, Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 is going to join us on the show. But you know what? We're going to do a different version of a random lineup today. Rob, tell them what it is.
We're where you want to be.
Carrying today's random Royals lineup takes us back to 2012. This is the All-Star Game lineup that took part in Kansas City as... Are they your AL All-Stars?
I was there.
The AL All-Stars got smoked this day.
It wasn't good.
It was 8-0. Here was the starting lineup for the AL.
I'm pretty sure this was Bryce Harper's first All-Star game and Mike Trout's first All-Star game. Maybe I'm off on that, but I do remember it being a big deal. I also remember that Bryce Harper was wearing gold spikes that day.
I also remember this was Chipper Jones' last All-Star game.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Here was the AL lineup that day. Leading off at shortstop from the Yankees, Derek Jeter.
Of course, Jeter.
Batting second, the second baseman from the Yankees, Robinson Cano.
Boo!
Batting third, the left fielder from the Texas Rangers, Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton.
Batting fourth, from the Blue Jays, the right fielder, Jose Bautista.
People hate him, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he got punched in the face and people cheered.
Well, that's life.
I mean, outside of boxing, can you think of a time where a dude gets walloped and everyone's like, yep, he deserved it?
Who do you think is more hated from Toronto, Drake or Jose Bautista?
I think right now, Drake.
It's tough for both parties. It's been tough.
Batting fifth, the first baseman, the Detroit Tiger, Prince Fielder.
Prince Fielder.
Batting sixth at third base, a Texas Ranger, Adrian Beltre.
Hey, man, we didn't have nobody start this year. Goodness gracious, we couldn't get one starter.
Batting seventh, the designated hitter from the Red Sox, David Ortiz.
What were we doing back in 2012? We couldn't get one Royal voted in for the game.
Batting eighth, the catcher from the Texas Rangers, Mike Napoli.
What?
And batting ninth, in center field, representing the New York Yankees, Curtis Granderson.
Oh, I remember Curtis Granderson, former Tiger, if I'm not mistaken. Is that the only two teams that he played for, the Tigers and the Yankees?
He was also a Met.
Oh, he did play for the Mets for a little bit. Yeah, he did play for the Mets.
Speaking of the Tigers, Justin Verlander got the start this day for the AL in the All-Star game.
First battle Hall of Famer, Justin Verlander.
He was not good. He went one inning and gave up five runs.
Got beat around.
The Royals did get an at-bat in this game from Billy Butler, so that's fun.
Okay. Did Butler get a hit in his AB?
I am trying to find the...
No, he couldn't get any hits in the home run derby because he was lied to. He was misled.
He went 0-for-2 with a strikeout.
Oh, my goodness, Billy. Come on now. Billy. When do you think we get the next All-Star game? Sometime after the new stadium is. Probably like 2035, you think?
It's not this stadium. So.
Yeah, so probably 10 years away from another All-Star game coming back to the city?
Probably. When did Atlanta last have theirs before? Theirs is weird. This was supposed to be 2020's All-Star game. So, like, in reality, like... When did Atlanta have one before 2020? It was in the 90s, right?
Yeah, I don't remember, but I mean, I'm assuming it was when Turner Field was built. Yeah. I mean, they had that, and then there was the political, and Atlanta was supposed to get this All-Star game like 5 years ago, and now they're finally just getting the All-Star game. More and more, I hear people speak very highly of Battery Park in Atlanta. I got to ask Ladd next time we talk about it how much he likes the stadium. He spends a lot of time out there now, but no, shout out to the Atlanta Braves. They got the home run derby tonight. They got the All-Star game this weekend, and that was the 2012 American League All-Stars. You guys might remember they hosted that game right here in Kansas City. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Harold Kuntz. He is with Fox 4. We're going to be joined by some of our favorite news people today. Talk a little bit of sports, talk a little bit about their career, a little bit about covering the city. Speaking of that, one of my friends was in from out of town, and I learned something very valuable about Kansas City this weekend. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, host of the Random Royals lineup on 96.5 The Fan.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. I want to tell you guys a couple of very quick stories before we're joined by Harold Kuntz of Fox 4. So some of you know, but I work for Infinity Sports Radio. I also work for Sirius XM Radio. I do some fill-in stuff with Sirius. I got a daily slot every week on the Infinity Sports Network. So my producer, my version of Rob for Infinity Sports, every year he goes to a different Major League Baseball stadium. Big Mets fan, tries to see the Mets play at a different stadium every year. Well, this year, he chose Kansas City. The Mets were coming. We could meet for the first time in person. Funny enough, we talked on the phone for probably the last 4 years or so. We've never been in the same place before. So he came down here, and we hung out. We went to the Mets game on Saturday. We did some other things. Rob, I will say, it was very interesting to see Kansas City through the eyes of a tourist. I've lived here my whole life. So when he's asking me, well, what should I do? And I'm like, hey, I'll take you around. I'll show you some different things. I'm trying to think of it as, hey, if I'm only in Kansas City for 2 days, what are some things that I would be into doing? What are some things that I would like to do if I was trying to get just a 48-hour quick snapshot of the city? So he got into town on Thursday. We were still, I don't know, he was doing stuff, I was doing stuff. We didn't get a chance to meet up on Thursday. I then hung out with him after we got off of the show on Friday and basically all day on Saturday. So we did a lot of different things. One interesting thing that he told me, he said everywhere that he went, he has a clear New York accent. You can tell he ain't from around these parts. He told me, Rob, that every person that suggested a barbecue restaurant told him one to go to. Do you know what it was? It was Q39. This is my question. 913-586-7965. Is that what we're telling the out-of-towners? You're telling me when somebody comes in from out of town and you know that they're not from here, you meet somebody in line somewhere and they say, oh, hey, I'm from Seattle. I'm from Phoenix. And they ask you, where should you go get barbecue? Q39's now become the number one answer on the board. He told me on Saturday, we're driving around, he said four separate people. He said when he rented his car, he went to go take a tour at Arrowhead on Saturday morning. He said every person that he had told, hey, I'm from out of town, suggested Q39 as the place to go get barbecue. I didn't know that was the it place. I mean, I didn't take him to Q39 to go get barbecue. But Rob, is that what you're telling people? Whenever somebody is coming in from out of town and you suggested them a barbecue restaurant, Q39 has become the number one answer on the board?
It is not my number one answer, and I have a unique experience because around this time last year, I obviously had my wedding, so I had a lot of out-of-town guests in, and they were like, what's the best barbecue spot to go to? I told them the most unique, fun experience, a great barbecue, the spot to go is you got to go to the gas station, you got to go to Joe's, but I'm stunned because I wouldn't have Q39 on my Mount Rushmore. I am stunned that word of mouth about Q39 is so big that they are the ones everyone is being told to go to. Like that, it's not, Q39 is good. It's a very good barbecue place, but I don't think it's quintessential Kansas City, but maybe I'm just too, like, can't see the forest for the trees type of deal.
So we tried to do the Joe's. So this is what I told them. And you can, guys, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong here. I'm a lifelong Kansas City, but maybe we do it a little bit different. I told him that we have a Big Four. You guys know who I think the Big Four are. I think it's Joe's, Gates, Jack Stack, and Arthur Bryant. I think those are the Big Four. Now, I do agree. I think that Q39 is the most popular barbecue restaurant in town that is outside of that Big Four. But I do think that's the Big Four. And I told him, hey, you're here for three nights. You should try to go to at least two of the Big Four. If you get a chance to go somewhere else, cool, but you got to go to two of at least the four. So the first night we went to Gates, got a mixed plate, shared a mixed plate. The next night we went to the Jack Stack over on the plaza. We did try to go to the Joe's, the original location. That line was crazy. And I was sitting there saying, hey, I'll wait in this line if you really want to, but I'm telling you right now, there's other places for amazing barbecue that we can just skip all this line and we can go sit down. Like, we will be able to leave the location over in, what's that, West 47th Street, wherever the Joe's is. By the time we drive from here to the plaza location, we can go sit down at the bar and be eating by the time that you be halfway done with this line. That's how crazy the line was. I don't know if this was the summer, the Mets were in town. I don't know what it was, but you guys know, when you see that Joe's line wrapped around the building, I ain't going there today. I'll wait. I'll go back. I've had Joe's enough. I've had enough Z-Mans in my life. I'll have another one, I'm sure of it. So I felt bad that he didn't get a chance to go into the gas station location, but he did get a chance to see it. We also rocked around Union Station for a while. I was telling him, hey, this is where the draft was. This is where the parade was. I'm sure you've seen it on television. I took him out where, you know, that the big statue, the Scout. He's like, you know, I want to see the sights. And I'm like, oh, well, you can't really get much better of a view of downtown Kansas City than here. It was a nice night outside. I'm like, hey, let's just go over here. It's real close. You can just see it. I also took him to Up-Down. Feels like you're a 35-year-old man. You're looking for something to do. I don't know if you can go wrong with going to Up-Down. Get yourself a beer. We played some games, played some skee-ball, had a good time. I was just trying to see Kansas City through the eyes of a tourist. Another touristy thing we did, Rob, you'd be proud of me. We took him to Boulevard, the little brewing hall, the little beer hall. And I was like, I think these are the four most popular beers from Boulevard. These are not my four favorite, but this is what I think most Kansas Cityans would say are the four most popular beers, and they made them a little flight. So it was Space Camper, the Pale Ale, the Tank 7, and the Boulevard Wheat. Now, I'm sure you're going to tell me that's wrong, and there's other beers that you should have on the flight, but I said if you're just doing four beers, because they'll give you a flight, $11 for the four beer little flight that they have, I felt like those are the four most popular beers that Boulevard has to offer.
I actually have no problem with your Boulevard beers. Let's circle back a minute. I would have not had the Scout on my checklist to take a tourist to. It's a good answer. I'm not, you know, knocking it. But it would have been pretty low on my list to walk someone up to that hill to get a view of Kansas City and see the KC Scout. Like, that is, I think that's a little bit, you know, hardcore Kansas City to show someone. Text line, maybe I'm wrong. I would not have had Casey Scout on my show or tourist Kansas City checklist. It wouldn't have made mine. Boulevard, yes. Up, down, there's plenty of bars in Kansas City you can do. Cool, whatever. I would be down with that. Barbecue, check, check, and check. The Scout is a little bit of a niche pick by you.
Yeah, so we did the Liberty Memorial. You go up there and you can see. It's like,
you're like, oh, right there, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, around the corner, there's a different view. And the point I made was, you'll see this view a million times if you watch Sunday Night Football. Like, there's certain views that they always show when they do B-roll of Kansas City. Like, they're going to give you the shot of the Western Auto sign. They're going to give you that overhead of the streetcar. You're going to see the Kauffman Center. You're also going to get that view of the time elapse from the Scout close to Penn Valley. So I just thought that was a good, it's quick, it's easy. It's a 10-minute activity. It doesn't really take a whole lot of time. So these were just some of the things. But as I said from the very beginning of this, it was just very, very interesting to see Kansas City through the eyes of someone who is a tourist. That's what it is. It's very interesting to see it through the eyes of someone that doesn't live here. Because, again, you're only here for 2 days. What are we going to do in this short period of time? I want you to have a good time. I want you to see Kansas City. You're from the big city. Like, you live in Manhattan. I don't want you to come here and think the Kansas City is whack, because it's not. There's a lot of fun things to do. And I do think he left with an appreciation like, oh, yeah, this was a lot of fun. I'm happy that I think he had a good time for his 2 days in Kansas City.
I feel like you hit all the marquee spots. Can I ask, this is, if I'm going to, I've just complained you got a little too niche, but I'm going to say this. Was there an exhibit at Union Station happening right now? Like, sometimes there's, I remember last year for my wedding, I told people, go to Union Station.
No, there wasn't one. Not that I would think of. I think they have that one. It's like the Guinness Book of World Records, but we didn't do that.
I'm going to say,
I felt like he already took one of those tours, so he did the Arrowhead Stadium tour. I didn't need to do that. I've seen Arrowhead more than enough. I don't need to go on the tour of Arrowhead. But he did that tour, and then we met up on Saturday, and then we went to the Royals and Mets game.
That makes sense. Because when I had people in town for my wedding last year, it was the dinosaurs exhibit. And it was very popular among guests to go look at the dinosaurs exhibit at Union Station. I was curious if there was something going on in there or just regular Union Station business.
He did say that he liked the pale ale, I remember, of all the Kansas City beers that he tried. So out of the Boulevard beers, the pale ale was his favorite. Rob, which one's your favorite out of the Boulevard assortments?
I mean, Tank 7's the answer, but number 2 is probably Space Camper. Pale Ale falls in 3-4 right in there of the Mount Rushmore, but Tank 7's my favorite of the Mount Rushmore beers.
Okay. I just was very, very curious to know. 913-586-7965, if you guys were missing it. I had a friend come in from out of town, and I was showing them around this week, and it was very interesting to see the eyes of Kansas City through someone who is not from here. Like, you're just trying to show them a good time. You're trying to show them all of the things. You're trying to get a lot of things done in a very short period of time. He was only here for 2 nights that we hung out. So I hope I did my best. I hope, as a proud Kansas City resident, I hope that you guys feel like I've done a good job with the tours. I think I'm a good tour guide. Like, if you're somebody from out of town and you're looking for things to do, you tell me what you're into and I can lead you in the right path. Tell me the kind of food that you like. Give me the kind of activities that you want. I'll get you squared away. You want an educational tour? You want to do that? You want to go on a couple museum tours? We can do that. What do you want to do? You want to eat? You want to drink? You tell me what you're into. I can give you a nice Kansas City 48-hour trip, even if you're from here and you just want to go to new places. I think that's something that I'm very qualified to do, Rob. That's what this show is about. People helping people. Powerful stuff. Let's go to the phone lines. Harold Kuntz is with Fox 4. Today, we are going to be joined by some of our news friends to figure out how they got their job and also talk to them about random events of things that are happening in sports. Harold, I'm very happy that you have elevated to someone to talk to during the All-Star break. Thank you, man.
That's like a backhanded compliment. Like, we got nothing on today. Here's Harold. All right.
Harold, to be fair, though, we got other people coming on, too. Today, I wanted to talk to either friends or I want to talk to news people. Like Brian Busby, for example. I've never heard the story of how Brian Busby became a weatherman and got on the news. So I determined today I'm going to ask that question and find out for myself.
That's a good question, actually. I don't even know that one. I mean, I've met the guy countless times. I've never asked him, how'd you get into weather? I never asked him. I'm looking forward to that.
Harold, we are very happy to have you on the show today. Let's just start with this. How did you get in sports?
How did you get in sports? Oh, no. Well, actually, I mean, I'm from the generation that watched local news as a kid. I know that sounds crazy, but I am from that generation, and I always admired the sportscasters. So it was something I wanted to do, even though I figured out, you know, like any other kid, I want to play sports. I want to be a professional athlete. I quickly realized that wasn't going to happen. So other avenues to get into sports, obviously broadcasting being one of them. I dipped my head into it when I was a kid doing radio, like yourself, actually, on just whenever I had a little time, just dipping into the high school kid, did some play-by-play for my high school teams and my college team at Loyola University New Orleans. And then next thing I know, I was in graduate school at Syracuse University and, God willing, got into it and got a job in Hagerstown. And, you know, it took me a year. I did some odds and ends. I did some substitute teaching. I did some refereeing. I did some tutoring. I did SAT prep for kids. But finally, I got a job in Hagerstown. And this is now my 16th year of doing this. And it's been a ride. It's been a lot of changes, but it's been a good thing. I've enjoyed myself.
Harold, if you had to, like, let's say you were writing a book tomorrow about your life and your career, and you had to write down, this is the greatest game that I've ever been to, what's the answer to that question?
Greatest game I've ever been to. Man, I want to say the Super Bowl a couple years ago, the one in Arizona. That was obviously a really good one with the Chiefs to feed the Eagles. And there was a playoff baseball game with the Orioles back in my first job. That was a good one. That was a really good one. That was 2008 or 9. Yeah, that was good. Back when the Orioles made it, and then they became bad again, and now they're decent again, and now they're bad again. So there's been a good – and then also in the NBA, I think what's really cool is when I was in Oklahoma, the Thunder had Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. So obviously game one of the NBA Finals, the one that they did win. And then, you know, obviously Miami with LeBron went on to win 4 straight. That was great. That was a great memory. A couple series with the Spurs was good. So, but I would have to say if I had to choose one, it was definitely that Super Bowl a couple years back, the Chiefs-Eagles one. That was a great football game.
Right now we're talking to Harold Kuntz. We're learning more about him. We'll also just get his thoughts on what is happening currently in Kansas City sports. Last question here, Harold, about you, and I don't think you've ever told me this answer before. If I could interview a 12-year-old, 13-year-old Harold Kuntz, I want to know who his favorite player was. Who was a young Harold Kuntz favorite player?
Well, that's easy. It's Randall Cunningham. I mean, that's the reason I even enjoyed football in the first place. Now, I mean, that's a little before 12, 13 years old, but it's stuck. So Randall Cunningham has always been the quarterback I admired most. And I think today, I mean, he would have been even better today, the way he played, than he was back then. Because back then it was still a relatively new thing for this guy from UNLV that was with the Eagles running around. But I mean, he was the standard, for me. And you know, I looked up to him, and Warren Moon is another one I looked up to because, you know, I'm black and I love seeing black quarterbacks. And that's why, you know, I loved watching those guys as a kid.
We got to ask Randall Cunningham one day why he didn't give his likeness to Tecmo Super Bowl and why he was just QB Eagles. Yeah. I want to hear the answer to that.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping one day to catch up with him when actually a couple years back when the Chiefs Eagles played that first Super Bowl. I saw Rodney Pete. I saw Donovan McNabb, but I knew Randall Cunningham was around. He was going to be at a signing, but he called out, just like Randall Cunningham would do, he called out of the signing that he was supposed to do. So I never got to ask him that question, but maybe one day.
All right, a couple more questions here. Now I'm just intrigued. I'm learning things about Harold Kuntz. All right, I will tell you a story, and I'm sure you have this because if you work in sports long enough, you just get these stories. You just have like a random run-in with a celebrity or a sports legend that you just like never would factor yourself being into. I remember it was actually at the All-Star game back in 2012 and Joe Torre was in town and it was me, Joe Torre, and a Royals employee. We were in the elevator and I said a joke and Joe Torre laughed and said I was funny and I just wore that like a badge of honor. I made the Yankees manager laugh and he told me that I was funny. Again, you just have these random things that happen to you in sports. Do you have a random story like that?
Oh, man. Here are a few. If we're talking Hollywood actors, Paul Rudd. I mean, I know a lot of people run into Paul Rudd, but just running into him at a Chiefs game, but for some reason he decided to talk to me for like a good solid 20 to 25 minutes. That was pretty cool. It was like the life and times of Paul Rudd. And then I know a lot of people run into George Brett, but I ran into him at a Sporting KC game. And I just asked him, I was like, soccer, huh? And like, I just That's the first time I'd ever met him. It was a Sporting KC game, and I was like, "Shocker, huh?" And he just looked at me. He's like, "Yeah, I know the owner. I get free drinks." I was like, "Okay, that tracks from everything I've heard about you." And then I tried to introduce myself, and that was a futile attempt. But still, it was like, "Wow, Shocker." And he's like, "You mind if I take a picture of you real quick?" He's like, "Yeah, sure, I don't care." So, but that's here now. Outside of things, I mean, I've had a bunch of random encounters with Kendrick Perkins. I had to remind him three times I ran into him. I've had to remind him three times. Yeah, I used to cover you in Oklahoma City, and then he like looks at the face and has the same reaction. Oh yeah, that's. And he always says short guy, and I think to myself, wait up, we're all short compared to you. You're like 6'10".
Right now, we're talking to my guy, Harold Koontz. We're getting some of his stories. Last one here, and I do want to ask you about the Chiefs. It doesn't happen often in this business, but sometimes you get to meet people and you're thinking, oh, this is really cool. I wouldn't say it's necessarily starstruck where you don't talk to them, but it's just this is really cool. The two people that have done that to me, one is a sports person, one is not. I got a chance to meet Cam Newton, and I loved Cam Newton when he was at Auburn. And Rob always makes fun of me for how I just think Cam Newton carried this team to the national championship, but he did. He carried this ragtag group of Auburn Tigers to the championship. So I will always love Cam Newton. And one year down at the Super Bowl, I saw supermodel Christy Teigen, and I was looking at her and I was like, man, I get it. I understood it right there in that moment. I understood why she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. All right. Who are your starstruck? Who are your, I can't believe I got to meet them.
So I'm going to use a sportscaster, Stuart Scott. When I first met him, I couldn't get words out of my mouth. I was just like, that's the guy. That is the guy. Now, eventually, I got to it. I always look back at that brief time I had with him. I felt ashamed because a lot of people always said very nice things about him. He's very forthcoming. But I just couldn't get over the fact that was the guy. I was like, that's him. So Stuart Scott, obviously, rest in peace. One of the legends of our business. So that's the sportscaster one. Athlete-wise, I don't know. I've never really been like – I just haven't been that guy that said, oh, wow, I can't say anything. I'm like frozen. So, I'll go back to, you know, when I was in the D.C. DMV area, you know, I had Bryce Harper and Manny Machado when they were young, Oklahoma. You know, we had all those players, the Sooners, like Baker Mayfield and all those guys, and then Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, all those players. And then obviously here they've got very notable athletes too, and very notable athletes who date people that are very notable. But at no point I've ever been like, oh, wow, because I guess I just – once I'm in a work mode, I'm kind of like, I know who it is, but I got to get to work.
All right, these are two of the most important questions in the city right now. Where do you think the Chiefs play in 2035? Are they in Kansas or are they in a renovated Arrowhead Stadium?
Man, I am very I'm more certain about the Royals now than I am the Chiefs. But I do believe that it really comes down to if the people surrounding Clark Hunt can convince him that Kansas is the right place. Because I think all the signs look to that being the right decision. I just don't know if Clark Hunt wants it to be the right decision. So it's really more along the lines of what do they want to do and how much they can convince him. And I think we've been saying this for a couple of years now. I think this really is just, this is convincing the Hunt family, like, hey, this is the right decision. You've got to look at all the other teams, especially the old AFL teams, the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans. They're moving in a new facility. Buffalo's already got their new facility done. You look at some teams like Cleveland. They are about to move into a new facility. Cincinnati has made a decision to renovate. The Chiefs are behind the eight ball here when it comes to other organizations in the league. To make their own decision. And you see, and we're not talking about like the Dallas Cowboys or New York Giants. We're talking about Cincinnati Bengals. We're talking about the Titans organization. We're talking about organizations that you wouldn't think of as the highest tier of NFL franchises that are making decisions. So it really comes down to who's convincing now, you know, who can get in the Clark Hunt here, who can get in the Hunt families here and say, hey, I think the Kansas proposition is the right call that'll make us the most return on investment, if you will. But I do know that he loves Arrowhead. And, you know, the heart is going to grow fonder of that, and that's just going to be a hard decision for him and his family to make. But the business side of it screams Kansas. The business just screams Kansas.
Last thing here, Harold, we'll get you out of here quick. Tomorrow, if you could show up in like a pickup game environment, you could do a like 360 dunk during a pickup game, or would you rather be able to hit a 400-foot home run and underhand softball? Tomorrow, you can just pull up, and everybody's like, oh, Harold's here, and then you just do one of these two things. Which one would you pick?
Tomorrow. Are we talking about my current physical state, or I'm like actually
current state right now? Like tomorrow you signed up and somebody's like, hey, come play basketball with us. You're like, oh, okay, cool, I'll go out there. And the next thing you know, you just do like a 360 windmill dunk in front of everybody.
Boy, current physical state, I just hope I get there. I just hope I'm able to arrive to the court or the diamond. I'll go with the 360 dunk. Hey, I'll go with the 360 dunk. I'll go with that.
That is our guy, Harold Koontz, joining us on the show today. Catch him on Fox 4. He does fantastic work. Today, we're going to catch up with random newscasters from around the city and just ask him questions about them. Harold, I never thought I would interview with you about your life. We got to do this again next year.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I'm actually in front of a Pizza Tassio right now. What's the code?
You know what, Rob? Let's hook our man Harold up with some pizza. I'm going to put you on hold, Harold. Let's see if we can hook my man Harold up with some pizza. We know somebody over there at Pizza Tassio that can hook my man Harold up. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll get back to the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Coming up at the top of the hour, I want to get to a segment that I've been doing on Sirius the past 2 weeks. It's called Hot Take Mondays, Rob, where I give my absolute hottest takes. And I want to tell you the takes that I have told them. I will share with you coming up in just a little bit. I went to the Royals game on Saturday, and I had two observations about the Royals that I'd like to share with you. Number one, Jack Caglione he gets into some spectacular outs. Like, they look really good. He just hits them right at people. You know the saying, man, he hits the ball hard. And I was reading a tweet from Jake Eisenberg how he was just unlucky. And I saw that on Saturday. I mean, he hit two balls very well. He just hit them right at people. One was a spectacular play, I believe, by Francisco Lindor. He made a great play on the ball. There was one out. He then hit the ball as far as you can hit it at Kauffman Stadium without hitting a home run. It was just a very unfortunate set of events for Jack Caglione. I feel kind of bad for the youngster heading into the All-Star break. That was number one. Number two, Bobby Witt Jr. is just, he does some amazing things on a baseball diamond. I mean, back-to-back days, he has made a Derek Jeter, Ozzie Smith-level defensive play. He made that on Saturday when I was there. And then yesterday, as I'm sitting there watching it, he did it again. I mean, a ball that not a lot of shortstops can get to be able to make that play, to be able to turn around and make that throw and force an out, just some spectacular plays from Bobby Witt Jr. this weekend. So two things I noticed from the Royals that I don't know what it is. And I'm sure everybody feels this way when they go to a Royals game. If I go to the Royals game, they're losing 3-1. Rob, they've lost four straight games that I've been to, and they've scored six runs I looked up in those games. If I go to the Royals game, they got a 3-1 loss coming. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I've done. They just got a 3-1 loss coming if I am in attendance. And that's what Saturday was, another one of those games. You thought they had a chance. They had a runner on third. They had a runner on third with no outs. They had their 2, 3, and 4 hitter all due up. Didn't score. Didn't score a run. I knew it. I should have left right then and there. But my friend wanted to see the end of the game, and then he wants to take a picture in front of the scoreboard like, oh, let me get Mets one. Maybe you'll get away from me with that. I'm not taking no picture with you. Oh, the Royals just lost. Get away from me. But that was my two observations. Jack Caglione, he just hits into some spectacular outs. I mean, they're outs, but they look good, though. They're really impressive, encouraging outs. And Bobby Wood Jr., he's amazing, man. He does something once a game, once a homestand that you think to yourself, that's one of the best baseball players in the world. Those are my two observations from going to watch the Royals on Saturday afternoon.
Do you think Kansas City appreciates how good Bobby Witt is? Like, I'm not saying that people don't think he's very good at baseball. I'm not insinuating that. But he is, Vern says all the time, he might be one of the best players in the sport on the planet. Kansas City has a top, let's just say five. We'll be conservative. Top five baseball player in the sport right now who does, like you said, night in, night out, he is going to do something really impressive at the ballpark. Do you think Kansas City appreciates his greatness the way they should? Or are they kind of, because the Royals as a whole have been an organization that struggles and he's only been a part of a splash of success to the team, they don't truly appreciate his greatness the way they should? Because the things he does, if you go out there and watch, you watch on TV night in and night out, man, it is truly great to watch. And I don't think he gets the love locally that I think he should.
Yeah, I mean, I think he does. I think there's a couple of things that are, I guess, maybe at a negative for him. I would say, number one, like, he doesn't really have much personality. Where Mahomes isn't, you know, I don't want to make it seem like Mahomes is eccentric, but Mahomes plays with a certain level of swagger and flair that I don't really think that he does. So I think that's some of it. I also think back in 2015, where it was kind of spaced out, you had a combination of all of those things. Moose certainly had his own personality. Salvi was the jokester, him and Lorenzo Cain's dynamic. Gordon was probably a lot closer to what Bobby Wood Jr. was. So I do think there was like maybe more of a balance where everybody kind of gravitated towards who they liked based on their personality. I think that kind of hurts them. I just also think like this is kind of the beginning of it. You're right. Like, you haven't had that success yet. You had one phenomenal year. But this year, Bobby hasn't had one of those monster dynamic seasons. I mean, you go out there, I think you have now seen, if you have decided to make a jersey purchase after the 2015 run, you have already purchased your jersey and you have the new Bobby Witt Jr. jersey. You see a lot of those City Connect uniforms out there that if you haven't bought any Royal stuff in the last couple years, you want to go out there and you want to get the new Bobby Witt jersey. So I do think that everybody acknowledges that he's a great player. I don't know if he has a personality that kind of draws you into his game. So that's why I don't think you see it kind of over the top in that way. Where if you think about it with the Chiefs, and I know it's hard to remove their individual and team success, but Kelce has always had a big personality. Chris Jones has a personality. Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark. Like, the Chiefs kind of have characters in a way. That's not really what Bobby Witt Jr. is.
Yeah, I wonder, I am not at all comparing these. But actually, this comparison is going to work better, I think. Is it fair to call him Mike Trout? Like, Mike Trout, was at the peak of his powers, was a freak. He was maybe one of the best baseball players of the 2010s. Like, he was incredible when healthy. But he just had no charisma, maybe is the right term, no off-the-field presence. He just was, I'm going to play my 162, I'm going to put up great numbers, and I'm going to go home and mind my business. I think Bobby Witt's cut more from that Mike Trout cloth, because we live in the social media era. I wonder if, since he isn't the big personality or out at, you know, power and light like the 2015 group was, or, you know, eccentric like Mahomes is, I wonder if people truly accept his pure greatness. Because between the lines, there's what, 3-4 players in the sport right now that are better, and you could argue that he's 3 right now, and 1-2 if you don't count the fact that Ohtani plays 2 positions.
Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, I have a better question for you, and don't be a homer. Is it fair to keep Witt in Kansas City, or should the Royals let him go elsewhere and win some championships? I think it's fair to point out that Bobby Witt Jr. is 24 years old, and he just signed an 11-year, $300 million contract a year ago. He signed this on February 5th of 2024. Bobby Witt Jr. is not going anywhere. Now, there's an out in this deal, which I think is really, really important. If Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't feel like the Royals are heading in the right direction, he can opt out of this pretty early on in his career. He can opt out at the end of his 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th season if he wants to. So if Bobby Witt doesn't feel like the Royals are heading in the right direction at 28 years old, he can just say, I don't want to play for you guys anymore. I'm out. I think that's very important to note when it comes to Bobby Witt Jr. So, no, he ain't going anywhere. There's no reason to talk about letting Bobby Witt Jr. go anywhere. What they need to be trying to figure out is how at 24 years old, when they have one of the 10 best players in the American League, how they can make this thing work and win with him at the center of everything. And how you get him back to having those monster years. Last year, I think most people considered Bobby Witt to be the second best player in the American League behind Aaron Judge. I don't think that's how he's viewed today. Now, that's for a lot of different reasons. He's having a good season. Like, I don't want to paint it like he's not having a good season. He is hitting .294 with 14 home runs and 54 RBIs. He's going to finish this season with 20-something home runs, 80, 90 RBIs, and still 20 bases. Like, he is en route to having a phenomenal season. But it doesn't feel as magical as it felt last season with Bobby Witt. Like, last year, there was a legitimate argument that he was the American League MVP. I don't think you feel that way about him today. So how do you get him kind of back to where he was last year? I also, maybe this was like a big deal. I wasn't really on social media that much on Saturday. I still don't understand how Bobby Witt was called out at second base. I'm at the game. I got pretty good seats. I'm like directly in line where I can see second base. They then show it on the screen. I'm confused at how they overturned it. Can anybody help me? Maybe they showed a different angle than they did on television. Rob, I'm not sure if you were watching it at the time. Can you tell me how Bobby Witt was called out at second base and caught stealing? Because he clearly looked safe to me the entire time. I haven't seen an angle since that would convince me that Bobby Witt Jr. was not safe on Saturday.
Bobby Witt Jr. is 100% safe. And this is, we talked about.
So what happened? How did they overturn it?
This is what happened. And we talked about a bunch in the show, and now we're against the break. He slid off the bag with a sliding glove for like a millisecond and the tag was still on him, which is
so some nonsense, basically
100% not the point of replay that we frame by frame. He's safe. It's 100. I cannot believe they called him out. Like, the minute that happened, I know you're at the game. I was watching the game. I was with some friends. I'm like, we're done. We can change the channel. The minute he's out, this game is over. They're not scoring another run today. They're cooked. It's over.
I'm still trying to figure out how they had a runner on third base with their second, third, and fourth hitter up. Third base, nobody out with their best hitters coming up, and they didn't score a run during there. That kind of said everything you need to know about the Royals, at least for Saturday, and what they were going to do from an offensive standpoint. Coming up at the top of the hour, Rob, it is a hot take Monday. I'll share with you some of my hottest sports opinions. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So Drive.